here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Royals baseball. And Josh Verner, who's on deck, show starts at 6 o'clock tonight. You heard the promo. It starts at 5 o'clock tomorrow night on The Fan, 6:10 a.m., because the Chiefs will play here on 96.5 The Fan on Saturday. Plus today, Cody and Gold plus The Drive will be at the Sportsbook inside Hollywood Casino. That drive hosted by Jay Binkley today.
Nice.
They'll be registering fans to win a signed Charles Amenihu football plus a pair of tickets to the Chiefs and Colts and Arrowhead. You want to be sure yesterday, hopefully you followed Hollywood Casino on Facebook, Instagram, and X to enter their giveaway for today, which is $100 pinned cash, which they will give away at every hour from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. So be tuned into that. But again, Royals tonight in action against the Minnesota Twins, Joe Ryan versus Seth Lugo. We talked about earlier with one word. I think the advantage is Royals in all three games. I know Joe Ryan is a stud, but at what point are the Minnesota Twins even caring to play?
Yeah.
Maybe trying to play spoiler against their team division. Cleveland plays the White Sox, so hopefully the White Sox can continue to play good baseball against the Guardians, because you're chasing the Guardians and the Rangers and the Yankees. Those are the three teams ahead of you as you are four games out of that third wild card spot, 2.5 games behind the two games in front, or the two teams in front of you. It's vital, man. You got to win 2 out of 3, nothing less. I know you say 3 out of 3 is what you need to do because you didn't win that series against Boston. But again, 40 some games left. You've got to get to 87 wins. You've got to win 20 to 21 games to get to that 87 number.
Yeah, then that's why you have to take care of the business against the Minnesota, because you know you don't have easy teams on your schedule every single game the rest of the way. And when you do, you've got to keep a losing team losing. And not only are the Minnesota Twins a losing team right now, but imagine still being on that team, other than Byron Buxton, who for whatever reason thinks that's a great place to be, right?
Loyalty.
I guess, but the team's being sold. So, I mean, just because the name on the front of the jersey could change the whole operation. Look what happened in Kansas City when Glass got out and Sherman came and they actually spent money. And so became a great place to be. And everybody wants to be a Royal now, because they're doing it the right way. Minnesota right now, I know it's Major League Baseball, and oh, this is supposed to be a great opportunity. At the end of the day, we're all human beings, right? And if you went into your office and they basically got rid of everybody that you'd worked with all year, that you trained with at the beginning of the year, all your group mates, and then you were the last one left standing, What's the incentive for you to go out there and bust your ass? And so that's why I look at the Minnesota Twins as a downtrodden franchise right now, probably all things considered in the worst position of any franchise now in Major League Baseball, with ownership up in the air and you strip down your entire roster. Like, that's a bad deal. You need to go kick them in the teeth early, because if they fall behind early, they're not going to fight back. Minnesota has no fight in them at this point in time. They don't want to be playing baseball anymore. So you have got to go in there and take advantage of that opportunity. And let's not kid ourselves. The Royals made the playoffs last year because they were 13-1 against the Chicago White Sox. You've got to keep those losing teams downtrodden. You've got to keep those losing teams losing, because you lost 2 out of 3 to Boston, right? You can't make those games up. You can't lose a game to the Minnesota Twins. It's just not acceptable at this point in the season, and it's not acceptable because they put themselves in this position.
Right. Royals going tonight plus 112 on the money line, so underdogs slightly.
Why is that? Can you explain that to me?
I mean, Joe Ryan, 10-5 with the two.
Lugo's going for us.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Ryan's a good pitcher. You're on the road. I mean, it's not a massive underdog. It's plus 112. The Twins are only minus 137 to win. So two bets, if you want to get on DraftKings and do this, you could. You could take the Royals on the money line plus 112. That's plus money. And then, of course, our guy Salvador Perez, the captain who's been hotter than magma, as one Scott Boras once described Hosmer's trade market or free agency market, whatever the hell it was. Salvador Perez plus 425 to hit a home run. So tonight I'm feeling a little juicy. Got some birthday cash, right? I'm going to go ahead and say tonight my bet's going to be the Royals on the money line at plus 112, and I'm going to pick Salvador Perez at home run at plus 425, $10 on that at plus 675. That's not scary.
No, I don't think that's scary at all. I mean, look, if they want to be a playoff team, they need to go out there and do everything that you just said, because you got 3 against the Twins, and you got 3 at home against Washington, and then you have 3 against the White Sox. So your next 9 games are against losers. Mm-hmm. And so you have an opportunity to gain some ground and to put some, you know, some wins on the board in the next 9 games. Like 7-2 needs to be the goal over those next nine games. Because after the next nine games that we just mentioned of the Sisters of the Poor, then you've got four against the Rangers. Then you've got three against the Tigers. Then you have three more against the White Sox. And then you close the month with three against the Tigers. And so this is your opportunity. This is moving week over these next 9 days for the Royals. This is moving day. You have an opportunity to go win games and to solidify yourself as a playoff team. You've got the Sisters of the Poor. You've got the has-beens in the Minnesota Twins, the never-will-bes in the Nationals. You got the White Sox coming up. Go in there and keep losing teams, losing and beat up on these people and feel good about yourself coming out the other side of these nine games. If you can go 7-2, that's a really good spot to be in with the Rangers rolling in for four games and with Lunchbox Giveaway Day coming up on August 19th, huge day at the ballpark.
Dusty keeps saying 2021, it's 30. Sorry, 816, my math is terrible and so is my dyslexia. So 30 to 31 more wins. If you want me to stand corrected, I apologize to you, sir. But again, you look at ask why, where the money is. 42% of people have the Royals on the money line, which means 58%. Is that okay, math? For the Twins, 64% of people taking the Royals plus 1.5. So they just don't like the Royals. You know, they like
Joe Ryan.
They like the cushion. And then the over under 8.5. The Royals are scoring more runs, so not a bad bet there. If you think the, but you know, again, we'll see what happens tonight. A big series, even though it's the Minnesota Twins. But go out there tonight, win this game, and you know, good fashion, you know, maybe win this game, I don't know, 6-3,
yeah,
and then go in there tomorrow with Noah Cameron on the mound, your pitcher of the year so far for the Royals. That's not a huge take, right? Like, no. I think Joe Ryan could be your pitcher of the year, or not Joe Ryan, Noah Cameron could be the pitcher of the year for the Kansas City Royals.
I don't think there's any argument right now.
It's him or Lugo.
Yeah.
Right?
But where Cameron came from, like, you knew Lugo was going to have a nice year. You didn't. Yeah. Nobody knew who Noah Cameron was 6 months ago, right? And now he's on the scene doing his thing, and he owns the league right now. Like, when I see Noah Cameron on the mound, I'm like, I feel we're going to win this game.
Yeah, no doubt. But yeah, I mean, I think that when you look at this game, like you said, you go 12-1 last year against the White Sox, massive advantage when it comes to the season win total.
Yeah.
Minnesota, three games. They're ready for, you know, Fiji. They're ready to get out of there. They don't really look forward to anything the rest of the season, but it starts with everything. Get out to an early lead, like you'd mentioned. Let Seth Lugo cook. And let's see where this team can be at the end of this series, because then you get to come back home and you get Washington, another losing team.
Yeah.
Then you get the White Sox. So if you think about it, you win two games every series. That's six wins in nine games. That's 6-3. That's going to give you some sort of advantage. The only problem is that the other teams ahead of you are 2.5 games ahead. So like your theory, if you sweep, you really have a good advantage to jump those teams. And I know Cleveland plays the White Sox, and I believe, I forget who Texas plays, but I think they play San Diego, or maybe that's
no. Who plays San Diego? The Mets are going to play San Diego, I believe.
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Okay. But this is where, like, I know we scoreboard watch, but the Yankees play the Astros.
Yeah.
So the Yankees could, you know, falter there a little bit.
Well, the Astros have had their number for God knows, I mean, forever now.
And Texas plays at home, but they're playing against Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That's, you know, a tough matchup. Mets play the Brewers, who are...
Oh, the Brewers.
Yeah. And then...
the Red Sox are going to San Diego.
Red Sox go to San Diego. So yeah. Red Sox have a tough series. Yankees have a tough series. You don't, and neither does Cleveland. So you got to jump at some point. So winning as much as possible is what you have to do, but you have to control what you can control, and that's what you do against the Twins, and that is, I would love a three-game sweep. Would absolutely love it. And if Lugo can be Lugo, and your offense can continue to roll at the top of the order that they've done with Vinny and Sal and Bobby and Michael Garcia, you're setting yourself up for success.
You really are, and you've got a nice veteran lineup right now. I mean, yes, you the name of Randall Grichuk and Adam Frazier and maybe even Mike Yastrzemski, it probably doesn't make a lot of people get excited about, you know, that, but they're really good Major League Baseball hitters, and they can make plays for you. I mean, Yastrzemski's play the other night in Boston maybe have saved the game. I mean, you know, you think about that, and I was watching the Red Sox broadcast of that one. They said that's out of 29 ballparks. The only ballpark that was not a home run in was Fenway. And so we got lucky there, but Yaz also made one hell of a play that if he doesn't make that play, guys are circling the bases and doing that stuff. And so I think as we, you know, kind of get towards the end of the season, you know, Yastrzemski, Grichuk, Adam Frazier, probably not going to be around next year, but they're your veteran bats in the lineup right now. They're nice veteran bats to have in your lineup. It's a lot better than whoever else we were rolling out there at the early part of the season. So you feel better about your lineup right now. You feel really good about the starting pitching. And going against a Minnesota Twins team that's given up on life, man, you score two runs in the first inning, and Lugo's going to settle in, and they're just going to swing and give up and want to go home.
That'd be nice. Do you think Max watched the first episode of Hard Knocks yet?
I don't know if he has or not. I'm going to say no.
I'm not.
Okay, surprised by that. Your guy, Josh Allen. The focal
point of this. I know. I'll get to it this weekend. We'll get the SEC.
He's just into the SEC now. Watching all those Vanderbilt highlights.
Oh, Vanderbilt's going to own the state.
Yeah, for sure.
They probably have more money than Tennessee.
No,
not a chance.
No.
It's closer than we think, but it's not. It's Tennessee.
Yeah, it's going to be Tennessee. Yeah.
Coming up on the other side, we'll dive into what we want to see in this preseason game tonight, how long Bob will be tuned in. Tomorrow night. And then we'll talk a little bit of Hard Knocks, because I thought it was an interesting episode, and there's more to come, because obviously they don't just do one. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Friday, when you hear Billy B on the traffic report. There's a car outside left of the shoulder. He's going too fast. Needs to slow down. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan.
What would Bill Brooks have done yesterday with that jackass driving on 69 in front of us, who was in the lane that was closed off by cones driving down the highway?
Looks like there's a guy who's never driven before. He smoked cigarettes and looks like he was in the introduction of Ace Ventura. Bill Brooks, you're listening to 96.5 The Fan.
That is pretty good.
If it ever goes south, I'll just do impersonations.
Yeah. I'm Bill Brooks. He's an easy kind of one to do, right?
Yeah, you just got to bang a few darts and have a cup of coffee and you're good to go.
There's no question he has unfiltered cigarettes, right?
His coffee's lead.
Yeah.
What do you put in your coffee, Bill? Unleaded. Premium. Yeah.
He uses
the day and I fill up every morning. That's my vice.
Whatever that cheap stuff is that they make here down at the other end. It's like thick. Ugh. That they, in the coffee pot that some people like around here, they make it extra thick.
Ugh.
That's Bill Brooks. He's got unfiltered Pall Malls and a big cup of dark coffee, and it's thick, and you pour it out, and it's slow, like molasses.
He doesn't chew tobacco. He chews the coffee grinds.
He's rocked up. He's thick.
Yeah, dude. How's your Friday night, Bill?
Well, I go to bed, and I have a nice Viagra, and then I wake up in the morning, and I know that I'm hard.
Men's wieners.
Right. No, but
that guy drinks bourbon, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That or scotch.
For sure. Yeah. One of those
I could see him having like a Glenfiddich.
Yeah. I think he's more of a bourbon guy. I think he's like a Jack Daniels on the rocks type of guy. I'm guessing. Yeah.
I've once been to Louisville where I didn't bet on a horse. I bet on how many fifths of bourbon I could drink. There's a stoppage in the left lane and there's a mattress on the side of the road at 435 and 69.
I'm Bill Brooks.
Yeah, exactly. If you missed it yesterday, we talked to Travis Kelce. He's one of the best players in Chiefs history.
But there is a preseason game tomorrow night, 7:00. You can hear that here on 96.5 The Fan. I can't tell you enough where it's going to be at. Burns On Deck Show started at 5 on 610 The Fan AM. But anything you're looking at, anything you're watching, and you can't say Josh Simmons.
Yeah, that's who I'm looking at, and that's who I'm watching, Josh Simmons. That's all I want to see. No, but also Ashton Gelati, Norman Lear, those guys along the defensive line, I think are going to be fun to watch.
Funny ha-ha.
No, but I think they're going to be fun. I'm excited about the defensive line this year. Yes. I think it's going to be really good. Like they've got a rotation of guys in there. There's a lot of chatter coming about these defensive linemen.
Chowder?
Yeah, I wish. Yeah,
but red or white?
White. There's no the red sucks.
What is the red?
It's Manhattan stretch outer. Yeah.
Is it like ketchup based?
No, tomato sauce. Okay. Tomato based, I guess you could say. Right. That's red. So yeah, tomato based.
I digress. Go ahead.
I forget what I was saying. It doesn't matter. I'd rather talk D-line. Chowder, quite honestly, than Norman Lear. But no, I'm excited about the defense. Look, a big preseason, I think, for a lot of fans to watch FAU as well. Not for me.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
Yeah, but a lot of fans, for whatever reason, will watch this stuff. And I mean, like, if anything goes on in Kansas City like's going on in Philadelphia right now, I will exit the world. I'm just going to tell you that right now. They're debating on whether or not this backup quarterback has any business playing in the NFL and how much people are in love with Tyler McCombs or whoever the quarterback was last night for Philadelphia. Like that's just overanalyzing for the sake of overanalyzing a preseason game. You can't take really a lot away from this kind of stuff. I know the coaches will have some stuff that they're going to take away from this, but if you're a fan sitting at home, don't try to be an analyst on this thing. I mean, you're not going to take anything away. And quite honestly, none of us really know what we're looking at in these preseason games. You know, like, what are they trying to accomplish in this preseason game? What was their game plan going in? Because you don't game plan for these things. You put together like, all right, we want to get this all accomplished today. We don't know what that is. We have no idea what Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo and Matt Nagy are going to try to accomplish in this preseason game, or what they're looking for, or even if they're looking for anything in this preseason game. So that's why you can't make judgments on this stuff, because we don't know what these guys are trying to do in these games.
You know, Norman Lear was 101 years old when he died.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Gee, Chris,
oh, yeah.
What's
yeah.
his best show? Ma, well, the Jeffersons, or All in the Family? Good Times?
Keep going. I mean, like Norman Lear, probably the best TV producer,
Sanford and Sons,
of all time. I mean, I would go with All in the Family because I used to Fast watch it with life. My grandpa.
All the Grifters? Oh, All the Glitter. All That Glitters.
Got a few on that list.
Mac, what are you watching on Saturday night at 7 o'clock for the Chiefs' first preseason?
Any Norman Lear comedy?
So does he graduate to his real name at some point? Does he make a big play, or is it Norman Lear?
I don't know. We'll have to see as this goes on. Yeah.
Fair enough. Man, watching the secondary, just the depth there. Noah Williams, we talked about Hitstick Hicks. Like, how does he look? How much is, I don't know why his name's blanking. Christian Fulton comes in. McDuffie's having to play in the slot because of Christian Fulton.
I don't expect to see much Jamari from him, Connor. Though. He's been injured until like yesterday, so I don't think he'll play.
That's not what I was talking about. Yes, Jamari Connor. Oh. How much Jamari Connor is in the slot versus McDuffie? Yes, with Christian Fulton not being able to come back as much. So, yeah, some stuff like that. But, I mean, you talk about FAU, man. I mean, he's one of the guys, in my opinion, where it's like you can't actually watch him. And it's like, we're not experts, but like, beat him. You know, it's 1v1. If it's a pass play, like, beat your tackle, beat your man. Like, same with Josh Simmons. Protect your man. It's 1v1. Like, are you blocking him? Like, we can tell that, right? Like, and with FAU, we talked about Sky Moore playing a lot. FAU, guy we might see a lot on the field. So,
you don't want to be seen a lot in preseason football.
Unless you're Carson Steele.
Yeah.
That's where he got born.
Yeah.
It was basically in preseason and game one last year. Everybody was like, oh, man, this guy, fullback for the rest of his life as long as he wants it.
But if you're a guy like Sky Moore, FAU, you know, high draft picks or whatever that are in year three or year four and you're playing a lot in the preseason, that's not a good sign.
Red flag. For sure.
Definitely. I'm looking at Kingsley Suamataia, and I'm also looking at Jalen Moore.
Yeah,
I want to see how they shuffle those guys through. Who's going to start at left guard? I believe it will be Kingsley tonight.
Probably.
And just to kind of see what, or yeah, tomorrow night, I'm sorry. And just kind of see what that shell looks like, right? Like, I know it's preseason. You can't really give a whole lot of, you know, insight or information what you're going to see, but I would like to see how they shuffle those guys, Juwan Taylor, what he's going to look like on the right side, how that's going to look like as a unit in their first actual game against another team in pads. Mm-hmm. That's interesting to me. I'm also looking at Jalen Royals. I'm looking at somebody like that, Breshard Smith.
He'll be fun to watch, too. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see how they're going to, you know, utilize him in the regular season. You know, I think he's fast. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. I'm excited about that. You know, Kingsley at left guard will be good because they say he's dominating again up there. Like, again, the same stuff we heard last year about Kingsley. But maybe he plays better when he moves inside. Maybe you're just not the lead. The left tackle's got to be the lead. Some guys are better, you know, inside. And so maybe this is a great move for everybody, you know. So I'm hoping it works out. And we're not talking about the offensive line anymore, right? Like, let's just let that be a thing that just takes care of itself. I hope we're to that point sooner rather than later.
I do agree with this text from the 785. Let's be honest, if Jalen Royals has a night, people are going to erupt.
Of course.
Was my question. Like, Carson Steele was that guy, as you mentioned. Yeah. Is it Royals? Is it Smith, Breshard Smith?
Breshard Smith has the ability to be that guy, I think.
Good, you know? Four running backs?
Yep, four right now.
Yeah. Kareem, Isaiah. Pacheco.
Elijah Mitchell,
and
Breshard Smith.
Yeah, I think all four of them are going to make this team, especially with the question marks surrounding the wide receivers right now and the injuries. Like, this Rashee Rice thing again, I know Andy even talked about it yesterday. It's not that big a deal, but they're just being cautious with it because you don't want something to become a big deal. I'm not concerned about that Rashee Rice injury. I'll say it. I'm concerned about Hollywood Brown's injury right now because I know Binkley will tell us he hasn't missed many games, but he did miss the entire season last year for us. And so for us with Hollywood Brown, he's been nothing but injured. And then you get him back for a hot minute and then he's injured again. So I think from a Chiefs fan's perspective, it's okay to have that PTSD with Hollywood Brown, right? I think that's fair.
two questions. One involving the Chiefs preseason game tonight for me. Will you watch any of the second half?
I don't know the answer to that question. Okay. I don't know where I'm going to be in a mental state at that point in time, or you know what the evening has led to, or you know what else is going on, or you know whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Watching versus having on, I think, are two different conversations, right? You may be out and the game may be on, but you're not watching.
Agreed.
You even may be home and the game may be on, but you're having a conversation with somebody else, or you're doing this, that, the other thing, and I think there's 17 parties we got to chauffeur around and whatnot. But like you start to think about like that kind of stuff. So I don't know if the game's on. It may be on. It may not be on. I can't guarantee one way or the other.
Yeah, that's a good way to point it. It's like, yeah, it'll be on, but am I really going to be locked in actually watching it or caring about what's happening, noticing who's in, who's getting snaps? Like,
there'll be that
half.
One guy that goes, oh, and you'll be like, what happened?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh,
yeah,
that's something the guy like that. They got out of La Tech.
Of course.
Yes,
and
of course.
Then there'll be the text line warriors and the Twitter warriors who are pissed at us because we're not dialed
what
in
the hell?
To what's going on in the fourth quarter. You can get that on the AM. But I think what you're hoping for, obviously, is no injuries in this game. Just get out
Please.
Of this thing, because
yes.
Watching those preseason games last night, way too many injuries for my liking. I hate injuries in the NFL. I don't care if they benefit our team. The Slater interview or injury is devastating for
Sucks.
The San Diego Chargers. That dude last night for Baltimore whose leg was going the wrong way, oh, my God, that's terrible. And then Alberto Richardson out there, as Binkley called him last night, with the pinky pointing the direction to Chicago or whatever that thing was hanging there like Baldinger's finger.
I was gonna say, yeah, Baldy's
finger. I mean, nasty. And the other thing for me, and I know this is so bizarre, and I hope somebody else has the same feeling, the crowds being dead from the neck up at these preseason games definitely impact my ability to enjoy the preseason game. Because you're looking, there's nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that are there are just kind of kids and having maybe their first NFL experience. And
right.
so the crowds aren't into it. I think that does factor. And at
for
least
sure.
for me, it has. Does it for you guys, too?
Absolutely. Yeah,
okay.
The vibe doesn't match. The energy's
yeah,
not there. I'm
yeah.
like, football, football. And then it's just kind of like... You know, it's tough. It's tough to keep that. With the Chiefs, I can kind of create that energy and vibe by myself for two quarters.
Yeah, because the retirees at the Arizona game tomorrow are not going to have a lot of energy,
no,
right?
No,
the
exactly.
Kennedys may be there. They'll bring the heat. But other than that, like, I don't know who else is, you know, going to be there bringing the heat at the Arizona Chiefs football
yeah, exactly.
game.
Exactly. Glad Cardinals are playing their stars, so we'll get to see our defense, at least for a drive or two against their starting offense. That's mm-hmm. kind of nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you talk about how you want to see like Norman Lott and you want to see mm-hmm. Gelati and Chris Jones, who apparently, according to Albert Breer, put on 10 pounds of muscle
Ooh.
To like, or 10 pounds of weight, I guess you could say, to withstand the season.
He's rocked up. He's thick.
The other thing I want to ask is not Chiefs related, but tonight at 6 o'clock on the NFL Network is the first official start for Shedeur Sanders with the ones in Cleveland, because obviously Flacco will not play. Mm-hmm. Kenny Pickett is hurt. Dylan Gabriel is hurt. Shedeur Sanders plays tonight.
It's exciting. I want to see him do good. I want to see him win this job. I want to see him own the job tonight. I want to have these conversations. Well, I guess it's Saturday, tomorrow, but I want to see these
yeah.
conversations of, man, Shedeur wowed. Like, this is a huge opportunity. I don't know that anybody in the NFL has more of an opportunity this preseason than Shedeur Sanders does. He has an opportunity to prove that he was the wrong pick in the fifth round and prove he should have been higher. He has the opportunity to go out there and legitimately win a starting quarterback job in the NFL. Like, play so well where they're like, we got to play you. Like Russell Wilson did his rookie year when they signed Matt Flynn to $75 million contract in Seattle, and Russell went and balled in the preseason. They went, okay, we got to start this guy. Like, Shedeur Sanders needs to be Russell Wilson in that first year. And just because Joe Flacco's there doesn't mean he has to be the guy. I want to see Shedeur dominate and win that starting job, because the league will be better if Shedeur Sanders is a starting quarterback in it.
That's exactly right. Our jobs will be more fun. Our content will be better if Shedeur Sanders
yeah.
is starting. It'll be chaos or it'll be great. Either way, it'll be must watch. Dion will get involved at some point. He'll have a quote. Like, yeah, you want Shedeur Sanders playing.
Hell yes, you do. Like, every NFL fan should be rooting their ass off for Shedeur Sanders tonight, because there's nothing like, I know there's a lot of people that want him to fail because they don't like his dad or the whole process, whatever the case may be. I look at a guy who's going to be an exciting player, I think, in the NFL. I like players like Shedeur Sanders. I want to see him do well. It's great for the league if Shedeur Sanders, and it's great
yep.
for us as fans if Shedeur Sanders is doing well.
It's a preseason game. It doesn't mean a whole lot, but it does for certain people. right? Like, it does matter. Like, we look at Ashton Jeanty last night, 3 carries, -1 yard.
I trade
and
him.
The theme on Twitter this morning is just wrecking him, right? Like, maybe he's not the best running back out of Boise State.
My
maybe,
God.
Which doesn't make sense, but also, you've also got a guy like Shedeur Sanders, where, yes, preseason doesn't matter, not all the starters play, but it does matter for him.
Hell yeah, it does.
Because if he goes out there, and let's say he plays the entire first half, and he goes 14 for 20, throws for 125 yards, a touchdown, a pick, people will say, okay. Because all we've heard from camp this year is that he's slow to the learning process. He's not quite picked up defensive reads. He's not quite there physically and mentally with the game. Again, they play the Carolina Panthers, preseason game one. But if you just show a glimpse of, you know, proving the doubters wrong, then you get the wheels turning. And then all of a sudden that builds confidence. And maybe that's all Shedeur needs. Again, I'm not here supporting Shedeur Sanders saying I'm going to get his jersey and do all that sort of stuff. But I do want to see people that have been knocked down a peg kind of climb up that a little bit.
It's an opportunity.
Because that's what it was. He came out of college. He was super arrogant, had the draft room thing. Everything was there. Didn't get picked. Fifth round. Okay.
Like, he got picked when Binkley stopped watching the draft.
And then all of a sudden, here's the audio we had this other week, the other day, where it's like, well, it wasn't my pick. The owner wanted the pick.
Yeah,
and it's like, dude. Okay, so now you've caused, you know, diversity in your franchise, which has already been caused by giving Deshaun Watson $266 million guarantee for being a creep. And all of a sudden, you have Shedeur Sanders on this roster that might show you something. And if he can show you anything, I think that's a huge win for Shedeur Sanders tonight.
And you mentioned like his numbers. I don't care. If you're looking at Shedeur Sanders' numbers, it means you didn't watch the game, and that's fine. It's a preseason NFL game. I don't think his numbers matter. Shedeur Sanders, to me, is going to be all about the eye test. You can see with your own eyes whether or not a guy belongs playing quarterback in the NFL. Anthony Richardson, you can see, does not belong playing quarterback in the NFL, right? I'm interested to see what Shador's going to be like. If he looks overmatched, then we got some serious conversations to be having. Then he should have been a fifth-round draft pick. But if he goes in there and he doesn't look overmatched and the game doesn't look too big or too fast for him, you'll know in the first drive kind of about Shedeur Sanders. You're like, okay, this league is going to be – he's going to be okay for this league. Or you're going to go, wow, he's got a long ways to go, and that's why he was a fifth-round draft pick. I think a lot of people will make up their mind and determination tonight about whether or not that fifth-round pick was justified based on how he performs. If he goes out there and falls on his face and looks like, you know, a fifth-round pick, then – you know, all the hype that Deion created for him was faux, right? So I'm looking for him to go out there tonight and just play football, and I'll make my determination based on what I see out of Shedeur, because I think it is ultimately, for me, going to be the eye test with him.
If he does fail miserably in preseason, is he cut?
I don't think I don't think so.
I think
they cut him. Yeah, I think, you know, 2 years from now, obviously,
sure,
we're having that conversation. But no, I don't think so. You would still invest in a draft pick in this guy. And now if the owner and GM are fighting over who made that pick, if I'm the GM, I'm not cutting him.
No,
just to piss
not.
You off,
yeah,
as the
exactly.
owner, because you're an ass. That guy sucks, by
he
the way.
Sucks.
That owner of the Cleveland Browns, he's a douche. So I would absolutely keep him on the roster just to piss the owner off.
Who do you think is going to start week one?
Flacco.
I'll go Huntley.
Chet Huntley? Oh, he's only there for a camp arm, dude.
He's there. I mean, he's...
No, he'll be gone as soon as some of these other guys, like Kenny Pickett, stops getting hurt.
I think Tyler Huntley's the guy.
We shall see. Hard Knocks, you've watched it?
Yeah, I liked it.
You enjoyed it?
Yeah, it was a good episode, I thought.
Sean McDermott starts camp, giving his players permission to fail.
Yeah, which I loved. I was like, man, Sean McDermott, way to go. We were talking about it earlier in the week. I think it's really started with the J.J. Watt conversation a couple of weeks ago, where he was ripping the media for keeping track of stats at camp, you know, incompletions and interceptions. You don't know what you're looking at. And then we had Aaron Rodgers for the interception on the first play. And then was it Aaron Rodgers, and then it was Jameis Winston, or was it Jackson Dart, or somebody from the Giants threw an interception on the first play. And both of those guys said, yeah, it's practice. It's okay to fail. It's okay to make mistakes. And then Sean McDermott opened Hard Knocks with this speech and basically started out, I'm giving you guys permission to fail. That's what this training camp is all about. And I'm listening to this. I'm writing down these notes because I'm like, oh, this is actually really good stuff from Sean McDermott. Starts the camp with giving them permission to fail so that they can learn and grow. And I know everybody wants everything to be perfect, and people are up at training camp going, oh, Patrick Mahomes had this interception, or Jackson Dart did this, or Shedeur Sanders did that. We don't know what we're looking at. Failure at this time of the year is good because you can grow and you can learn from that. And it makes you ultimately, in my opinion, a better player because you're not concentrating on being perfect. You're just going out there and playing football and having fun playing football. There was somebody last night I was watching in the NFL, and they were talking about, or maybe, oh, it was Jackson Dart. They asked him if the lights are too bright or something like that. He goes, I'm playing a kid's game, man. I'm just going to go do what I've been doing my whole life. Just going to go out there and play football. It's not like you're making too much of this. And I think at times we cover the NFL too much, right? We get too intense with the NFL, and we sometimes forget what reality is. I thought Sean McDermott hit that home at the beginning of, go out there and fail so we can learn and we can grow. And I thought that was a brilliant piece of advice to have going into training camp.
Yeah, I mean, again, the Bills are one of five teams to travel for training camp. Pittsburgh, Dallas, Chiefs, Rams, Buffalo.
Yes, think about all those teams that go away for camp.
Minus Dallas.
Minus Dallas. They're all perennial playoff teams.
Dallas is, the as far as winning percentage, I think it's number two from like 2015 or something. They win games, to be fair, in the regular season. But I get you. Yeah, they're not the same as those, but still.
Yeah, but I mean, Dallas, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, the Rams, and Buffalo all go away for training camp. They're the only five teams to do that. Pittsburgh has had three losing seasons since 1992. Think about that. Say that out loud again. They've had three losing seasons since 1992. Dallas, we know. Kansas City owns the league. The Rams pretty much own that side of the league. And then Buffalo, they're there every year. All these teams that are bringing this training camp back. I mean, Josh Allen even talked about it. He goes, it's 2.5 weeks of just nothing. You heard Travis Kelce talk about how much he loves training camp.
Yep.
Because you get away, you bond with your players. Maybe more teams should go back to living in dorm rooms.
Well, yeah, you create a culture, man. You create like a unity and an objective. Like that is what so many teams are lacking, is like a common goal that we are working towards each other, and that unity together. And you can't help but get that with 2.5 weeks living in a dorm room next to one another. Like you're gonna get close.
Yeah.
And you're gonna meet people that you've never met in your life and become either lifelong friends or enemies.
Yeah.
And then you're gonna become teammates, and either whether you like it or not, you're stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in St. Joe, where it's just miserable. Like it's just the weather wise, it's hot, it storms every other day. Ask Cody and Alex, they know about the storms that come in out of nowhere. But yeah, I mean, I think getting out there and doing that is so much fun, because I remember playing like middle school football and we had summer camp and there was a bunch of kids out there. You're like, oh, you're trying out for the team. Nice. Oh, you're trying out for the same position I'm trying out for.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In-house competition. You become friends. You become like enemies, but in a good way, if that makes any hell of sense.
No, I get it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're competing against one another. You're like, I want to beat you, but also like I want you to be better because it'll make me better.
Like think about how beneficial camp is for Noah Gray.
Travis, I'm going to sit there
and he said he's doing great. I'm going to stick to Travis Kelce and I'm going to learn what he does, not only on the field during the season, but I'm going to see what his workout regime is, how he gets ready for the season. And Travis Kelce says, St. Joe, that's what I'm going to do. That's where I get ready. That's where I do all this stuff. And it's a different mindset. And when you can teach that to the younger group of players that come into this camp, all of a sudden you kind of get an edge on everybody else, because the greatest in the game is telling you how it starts in August.
And it's also, too, like you can't sit there and say that this going away to training camp is antiquated. I used to kind of feel that way. Then you see the results and you see the teams that are doing it and you realize it's not antiquated. It really probably is the right way to do it, because when you have training camp at your own facility, you're still going through the grind of the camp. But at the end of the day, you're going home to your family, right? You're going home to your house. You're going home to your kids. You've got the father duties that you need to take care of, life duties get in the way, and it's still training camp. When you go away, you tell your wife, see you later, I'm gone for 3 weeks, and she understands that you're up at training camp, you're away, there's no dad duties, husband duties, all that kind of stuff. You're basically, you know, captive in that environment up there. They can have meetings around the clock and do all that kind of stuff because everybody's there. It's clearly making a difference because of the five teams that we talked about. They're all going to the playoffs and they're all having success.
The Chargers are number one. The Bengals are number two in this ranking system. We'll explain what that system is on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
It's today.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Sounds like the bump back music has a bunch of velos in their system. Two in the upper deck, one in the lower deck.
It's like a night at the Roxbury.
You okay?
We might not have any ears in the headphones. This left one's...
Lost them all.
Yeah. starting to come off, too.
You gotta twist, I mean, you gotta it's been weeks. Cord. Why haven't you bought a new pair by now?
There's like $15 ones at Target. So next Friday.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Next Friday.
That's right. Diving into it today was we'll get to the Richer of the Week here in about 10 minutes on the other side. But we talked about how the Chargers in Cincinnati, they rank 1 and 2 in this list. That is best uniforms in the NFL. Right? I think the whiteout had Drew feeling it all the way down in his plums.
I know that I'm hard. Are they using the whiteout uniforms for the Bengals as the second best? Because the Bengals uniforms, quite frankly, suck. I mean, I don't like them at all. I never did as a kid or anything like that. Like, I've never been like, now if they're using the whiteout uniforms, that's a different conversation that we can have. But I've just never been a fan of the Bengals uniforms.
Yeah, they're fine.
They're not fine. Number 2. Yeah, no, they're definitely not number 2.
No, top 5 according to ML Football. So really trusted source.
Right.
Chargers, Bengals, Eagles, Rams, Ravens,
and they only list 20. I mean, like.
Yeah, we just stopped. We just got lazy. Forget it.
They really did. Then they threw up a graphic and they put up the last 12.
Yeah, dead last is the New Orleans Saints.
Which I don't understand why they get a lot of flack for their uniforms.
They suck.
Do they? I really like their uniforms. I've always been a fan of their uniforms.
Yeah, the black ones are kind of cool.
Yeah, I kind of like it. Yeah.
With the gold.
The Miami Dolphins are super disrespected at 14th on the list. They should be higher. Because what doesn't make sense...
Well, the Commodes are 15th, too, and they have the worst uniforms in the NFL.
Except they're bringing back the homage to the Redskins from the past.
And if they're going to do that, then they get back, you know, they bounce up the list. But those uniforms that they have right now are just generic. I mean, high school uniforms are better than what the Commodes have.
Can I ask you why Cleveland is ranked 7th on this list?
Yeah, what? That's a great point. Like, what are we doing?
Cleveland Browns look like a stale mattress on the side of 435.
I don't know Bill why Brooks. The Houston Texans are 6 on this list.
Their uniforms are nasty.
Like, pretty cool.
Detroit at 21, they're a top 5 uniform for me.
Yeah, Detroit should be higher.
The Bears and Broncos should be higher on
way
this
higher.
List.
Kansas City ranks is 13th because it's Taylor Swift's favorite
there
number.
There we go.
Oh, that's exactly why it's 13. Yeah.
And then... the Chiefs uniforms are 13th, but they also love their alternate uniforms, which are black and white stripes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a referee joke.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can't hear anything. You're a mute back there.
It's okay.
When's your birthday? The 25th?
It's only the 8th.
I'll buy you headphones.
It's okay. It's okay.
No, that'll be my gift.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
No, it's not fine.
No, you go buy your own headphones. You're an adult. You pick out the kind you want because yes. you know there's certain people hear it differently. You know, like so if you want a pair of headphones, go try them on. Get that right fit. I invest.
We need to get a bell sound every time he says you're an adult.
Yeah, you're an adult.
Yeah, you are. I mean, act like it. You know, get a pair of headset
not,
that works.
Not acting like it.
Get a pair of headphones that work. You got your ears flapped out. You look like Goofy.
Bob, I want to get. Don't pay twice. Cheap people pay twice.
Yeah,
I'm trying
you're
not
right.
To pay
yeah.
twice.
Yeah, it's yeah. a good point. Yeah,
trying to get the good ones.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the headphone business is either $25 or $250.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Noise canceling is the
gotta
way to
get them.
I got no noise. Yeah. I guess it's canceled.
You got everything canceled.
Yes.
But seriously, I bought these Bose 12 years ago,
dang.
Maybe.
Can you turn your camera on so we can get people's opinion of what you look like with your headphones? Because you do kind of look like right now like a beagle that's getting scratched
beagle,
on the
yeah.
right spot.
Yeah, you do. You look a little bit like Goofy, you know? Oh, you're going to do the hot dog dance back there?
Hot dog, hot diggity dog.
Yeah. You look like somebody scratched that right spot.
But
in the
see,
ear
you need to do the goofy hot dog dance where he's flapping his arms.
Oh, that's
your
right,
yeah,
right,
that's
right.
Goofy. Yeah, because that's kind of what you look like. The ears are going everywhere.
Top 10 uniform power rankings before we get to a break. Chargers 1, Bengals 2, Eagles 3, Rams 4, Ravens 5.
I hate the Rams uniforms. Never have liked the Rams uniforms in my entire life.
I like the white and navy.
They don't do that, though. But that's the best one they have.
It's not bad. I like the modern-day ones with, like, the yellow and the flashy blue. Houston 6, Cleveland 7, Niners 8.
Never been a fan of the Niners uniforms.
Cowboys 9, Raiders 10.
Raiders should be higher.
Yeah, Raiders have good unis.
I mean, that's about all they have that's good. They should be higher than 10. Where are you guys on San Francisco?
I enjoy them.
Yeah,
because,
I like, their,
like
yeah.
It's funny how... their uniforms are the same, but the detail is different, which changes the whole uniform.
It does.
Like their sleeves will change or like the emblem will. It's just like so little. But I don't mind San Francisco's uniforms. They're always losing fashion when they play the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Somebody says that list is drunk.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I don't, you know.
Somebody says, who put that list together? Pro football out of focus?
No, ML football, pretty close.
And then somebody says, from the 913, Mac, you know how we always end the show, do something nice for somebody. From the 913, what's Mac's Venmo? I'll send him headphone money.
So nice, 913, don't do that.
What's your Venmo? What's your Venmo?
Mac-Morey1.
So it's Mac-Morey1, H-A-H-A-H-A. That's a bad joke. But no, so yeah, they want to help you out, man. So maybe somebody's just trying to do something nice for you. You never know. I can't hear you.
Yeah, see, I can't even hear. I can't even hear.
Oh, you can't even hear in those
now?
I
can hear you. You are Carrington's. They go inside the ear, though.
And they're chewed on. And you'll have to say Kelsey's wash.
You and Carrington could share some wax.
Yeah.
That's how the headphones work. You stick it in Kelsey's wash. Yeah, that's disgusting.
Would you rather have Carrington's earphones that he puts inside of his ear or take a secondary Jenny dip from Binkley?
Ear.
Okay.
First one.
Like Binkley's getting ready to eat, takes out a dip he's only had for 5 minutes, puts it on top of the can. Yeah. You have to put that in your mouth or put those earbuds in. Bob?
I want to puke.
Yeah, exactly.
BBL stinky.
We got a text from the 918. Make a bet, Mac. If you beat Drew in pickleball this weekend, he has to buy you new headphones. That's a good one.
Don't make that bet because you got one leg.
It's true. Yeah.
Drew's got three.
How are you going to play on that leg?
With a wrap? He's going to get that Brett Favre copper steel.
So you are playing now?
I'm going to play, yeah. Because yesterday
I had in a wheelchair on Monday.
I had some big improvement yesterday. Worked it back up. Done some stretches. We're off the IR. See what happens. Yeah. ACL.
You're back there in a gurney.
He comes in like Kevin Nash to the pickleball thing where you're sitting in the wheelchair with the broken leg, then you flip the towel over the leg and you actually stand up and walk.
Yes,
and you're so
yes.
screwed. yeah. From the 660, I'll buy you some headphones, Mac. Tell Poppy what you want from.
Yeah, you do have both ears going.
It's bad. The left one just went, so.
Mac, I have 200 set of gaming headphones that they sent me two pairs and I don't use. They're JBL noise canceling. Let me drop them off, man.
Well, then take that if you want to drop them off and you got them for free and it's not going to cost you anything.
That would be
JBL
amazing.
Stinky.
Yeah, JBL free headphones. JBL free headphones. I hope it has a microphone on it too, like a gaming headset. Yes.
Like and you got to sit there.
Yeah.
I want that.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, like a gaming headset. I hope you have
awesome,
that.
That would be awesome, 913. That would be very nice of you.
Somebody says from the 816, where the hell are the Chiefs? Thanks for listening. 13th on the list. Bengals uniforms have always sucked.
Yeah, this list sucks.
Then somebody says, maybe cupping will work for your leg like it did for Drew's back. And then you can take a shirtless selfie in a random car's window and send it on Twitter. That is a thirst trap from a guy who's married. What are we doing here? Coming up on the other side, we get to the Richard of the Week. Brought to you by Surfside. Surfside iced tea and vodka. Surfside lemonade and vodka. Proud partner of the Kansas City Royals. Each can of Surfside is only 100 calories. And the best part, zero bubbles, so you have zero troubles. We get into the Richard of the Week on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan. Your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.